Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
What is the longest time that you have found yourself having to sit on hold for customer service to address a problem that you were facing? What's the longest time you've ever had to sit on hold for customer service to address a problem that you may have been facing? We've all been there, right? We've all been there listening to the hold music playing over and over again. You know you've been on hold a long time when the music starts playing over. You're like, I've heard this before. Recently, I found myself on hold for 5 hours. For 5 hours. I was on hold for 5 hours to get an issue resolved related to our cell phone account. 5 hours over 3 different evenings. 3 nights. 5 hours on hold to get a problem resolved. And I'll be really honest, I was able to do it without going all carnal on anybody. 5 hours on hold. And I was tempted to get angry or to be frustrated a couple of times. But I found myself able to kind of weather the storm. And what I found through that experience is it really does depend on what you do while you're waiting that enables you to weather the wait in a holy and appropriate way. It takes a certain level of resiliency to be able to wait that long and calmly accomplish what you're setting out to do. Now, several times in the process, I encountered setbacks, the kind of setback where I'd have to just kind of like hang up and start the process all over the next night. But I bounced back, I stayed the course, and I was able to finally get my issue resolved. Now, in our 21st century culture, we're not trained very well to wait. As a matter of fact, we've all seen it before. When people are forced to wait, they tend to misbehave. And I think that's probably a kind way to put it. We want things instantly. And if we don't get them in a timely fashion or what we determine to be a timely fashion, we can get angry and agitated, and we can begin to misbehave in ways that are absolutely embarrassing if we realize that other people are watching us while we wait. Well, today, I want to take a couple of moments. I want to take a few moments and explore what the scriptures say with regard to waiting and hope and how that relates to our ability to bounce back, our ability to build resiliency in our lives, waiting and hope. Over the past few weeks, we've been focused on this need to build resiliency. We are going through one of the most unique times in our lifetimes, and we need to become more resilient. We need to be able to bounce back if we're going to be able to make a way forward. We've learned that resiliency, it's a big word, it's kind of like a bungee cord. A bungee cord, it can be stretched like a rubber band, and it always bounces back. That's what resiliency is. It's the ability to bounce back. Last week, we learned that we cannot have the confidence to bounce back if we are allowing our lives to be weighed down with sinfulness. And hopefully you did a little bit of reflection and a little bit of homework this past week, allowing the Holy Spirit to explore whether or not there are any things in your life, any sin that may be creeping in that we've been tolerating that is holding us down. Remember the bobber in the water being pulled down by the weight of the fish? Is there anything in our lives pulling us down that is sapping us of our ability to bounce back, sapping us of our ability to be confident? We need to build resiliency in our lives in order to withstand hard times. And we need to build resiliency in our lives to be able to withstand unexpected setbacks. Those are two concepts that capture the days that I think we're living in right now. These are hard times for many people. Got to be honest, got to be transparent. It's been a hard time for us. Pandemics, not being able to meet in person for worship or for ministry, all of the social unrest we've experienced over this past year, the political turmoil we've experienced over the past several months. Some days it really does feel a little overwhelming, a little bit too much to handle. And these hard times, they seem to be filled with unexpected setbacks. We've seen it time and time again over this past year. It's like, what else can happen? What's going to happen next? We've had families in our church that have unfortunately received COVID diagnoses, and they've had to go into quarantine. We've had people experience layoffs because of economic impact. The political controversy has come into our own communities and neighborhoods, on again, off again school schedules. If you're a parent with kids or a grandparent with kids trying to do school this past year, there's been no routine. It's been setback after setback, and it's very, very frustrating. You know, even recently, I've seen people frustrated about the delays in receiving stimulus checks in their bank account. You name it, it seems like everywhere we turn, people are on the ropes, impatient, and fuses are short. We're on the verge of behaving badly and behaving embarrassingly if we're professing to be people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. In the midst of these hard times, in the midst of setbacks, I think the Hebrew writer is providing us with some great advice in Hebrews chapter 10. And today, as we start things off, I want to focus you on the 23rd verse of Hebrews chapter 10. And Hebrews chapter 10, the 23rd verse. You got to remember, Hebrews is written to Christians a long time ago who were in a long-term pressure cooker. They were under crisis. They were under persecution. They are being tempted to just simply give up. They are being tempted to simply give in. Is this really worth it in the midst of the suffering and the persecution for our faith? And the Hebrew writer is essentially building a case throughout this entire book for why they should hang in there and to warn them to be careful of falling away in the midst of the setbacks and the hard times. He's reminding them why they should remain faithful. And in the midst of this effort to encourage, we come across these words in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 this morning. And this is really going to be the focus of what we're going to be talking about. The Hebrew writer says, let us hold unswervingly. I don't think you use that word very much, but let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised it is faithful. There's a lot packed into that simple verse this morning for people who are facing adversity and who need to build up their ability to bounce back in the midst of hard times and setbacks. First of all, as I read that passage this morning, aren't you thankful for hope? Aren't you thankful for hope? Where would we be without some hope during these days? Hope is a gift. And as I've reflected on hope during these times, I've become mindful that hope is unique in that hope only happens while we're waiting. Think about that for a minute. Hope only happens while we're in the midst of waiting. If there were no need to wait, there would be no need for hope. Hope is something to look forward to that is better than what we're experiencing right now. Hope is future looking, but once a promise is realized or fulfilled, there's really no need anymore for hope because hope has become reality. Once a wait is over, there's really no need for hope anymore. But while we're waiting, and we're all waiting right now for this time to end, and we're all wading through these times, as in wading through water. But while we're waiting, hope is critical. It is critical to have hope. Hope is critical for our physical, for our mental, for our emotional, and for our spiritual well-being, my friends. Hope is the rocket fuel for resiliency. I want you to write that down this morning. Hope is rocket fuel for resiliency. Without hope, it's really hard to bounce back. If we have hope, it enables us to get back up when we're knocked down. If we have hope, it's what helps us get out of bed in the morning and find purpose. If we have hope, that's what inspires each and every one of us to press on, to move forward, even when it feels like everything is stacked against us. No hope, no bounce back. No hope, no resiliency. So what should we be doing while we wait so that our hope is built up and not shaken, diverted to something else, or demolished altogether? You see, friends, knowing how to wait the right way, knowing how to wait the right way is critical to building resiliency and to building that ability to bounce back when we face hard times. Knowing how to wait the right way is what we're going to be talking about this morning. Knowing how to wait is a skill that we need to take the time to learn. Now, part of it is just really simple. It's just learning how to be patient, learning how to practice patience. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that this morning. Part of it is learning what to do while we're exercising patience. You see, the way I was able to withstand that 5 hours on hold was because I figured out what I needed to be doing while I was on hold and what I should not be doing while I was on hold. There are right things to do while we wait, and there are wrong things to do while we wait. And that determines on whether or not we have the ability to build hope and therefore build resiliency, or the ability to bounce back in our lives. The right things to do while we wait will build our hope and will help us bounce back. The wrong things, if we do the wrong things while we're waiting, friends, we will be left deflated. We will be left feeling defeated. So that leaves us with this question. Pastor, what am I supposed to be doing when I find myself waiting for rescue or for relief or release from the adversity or the grief or the suffering that I find myself in today? Take a breath. I'd like you to picture yourself in the waiting room of your family doctor. Not the funnest place to be, but we've all been there before. I want you to picture yourself waiting in your family doctor's office. Now, when I was growing up, as a young boy in Troy, Ohio, our family doctor, his office was in a giant duplex house right next door to the post office in downtown Troy. I really don't know what was in the rest of that house, but what used to be a living room was the waiting room for Dr. Smith's practice. And the examinations rooms were in other rooms on the ground floor of that house. And I remember as a child, whenever I was sick or had to go in for a shot or a checkup or something like that, I remember as a child spending time in that waiting room in Dr. Smith's office on Market Street in Troy. And I remember the easy listening music playing. Remember back in the day when they had the easy listening music radio stations that played the music, the good old music, the Sinatra-like music, that radio station was always playing in Dr. Smith's office. And there were lots of magazines. And I remember they had a toy section for little kids to play with toys while they waited for the doctor. I particularly remember while we waited, I liked to go find the Highlights magazine. I liked to thumb through Highlights while I waited there, usually with my mother. And while I was paging through Highlights, my mom would be paging through Reader's Digest or Better Homes and Gardens or something like that. And nowadays, when we're in the waiting room of our doctor's office, we're burying our faces in a screen, right? We're burying them in the screen of something like this. And so it's what we do while we are waiting in the doctor's office is this picture that I want to conjure up in your mind this morning, because what we do while we wait is very, very critical. So what are we to be doing as followers of Christ while we wait? I found this quote on my Facebook feed this past week that spoke directly to me about waiting in the midst of crisis. I want you to listen very carefully to this quote. It's not a scripture, but it's a quote from a pastor who was speaking to his congregation that I found out on Facebook this week. And this pastor said, if you have more input from social media, from mainstream media, or other resources than you do from the Word of God in your life, then your discouragement is self-inflicted. Let me read that to you again. If you have more input from social media, from mainstream media, or other entertainment than you do the Word of God, then your discouragement is self-inflicted. You are responsible. You cannot have a garden, and this goes back to what Pastor Vicky was just teaching us. You cannot have a garden and have a key to the gate and invite the enemy in to come in and plant weeds and then go and moan to God about it. You've got to repent for the fact that you've entertained things that are in conflict with the will and purposes of God. We've got to take ownership of the gate of our own hearts. That's a pretty powerful statement that we should all take into consideration during this time as we're waiting. We've got to take ownership of the gate of our own hearts. I have this little feature on my phone. You might have it too. It pings me every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. It did it this morning. And it tells me how much screen time I have spent in the past week. How much time I've spent looking at a screen on one of my devices over the past 7 days. The report this morning, I was down 30%. So I was busy doing other things this week. I think our lives would be dramatically transformed, folks, if we spent half the time we spend with our faces buried in these screens, having them buried in scripture, or having our faces buried on the ground, bowed in prayer, praying to God, seeking for His will in our lives while we wait. So what should we be doing as Christians when we find ourselves waiting in the midst of tough time, in the midst of tough times? Well, it may be a good idea to do a little bit more praying these days, praying the right way, praying the right way. I want you to listen in. I want you to focus in here. What I have to say to you is very simple, very profound, but very important for each and every one of us today. Prayer should always, every time we pray, it should always be an exercise, a spiritual exercise of refocusing our hearts and our minds and our souls on the throne of God in heaven, not on our problems. So often we fail to pray at all. And when we do pray, we wind up praying the wrong way or maybe with the wrong intent. We often use prayer as a device to despair in our suffering. And in our prayer, it's simply a lament. Woe is me. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But sometimes if that's all our prayer is, if our prayer is only a list of wishes we'd like to be fulfilled from the throne of heaven, we might be praying with the wrong intent in our hearts. We use prayer. Unfortunately, we get into this habit, church. We use prayer as an opportunity to obsess on the things that oppress us, when instead we should be using prayer as a reason to refocus on the Redeemer of our souls. We often start with our list, and so often we pray with the intent of simply taking a need to God, when in reality prayer isn't our ability to create a shopping list that we get to upload to God every day. Prayer should be an opportunity for us to refocus, to turn our focus from what's going on in our lives to the throne in heaven above. Jesus taught us to pray this way. He taught us to pray. He said, hey, when you pray, disciples, pray to your Father in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. That's not simply a memory verse. It is what we should be doing. It's the posture that we should be taking when we turn to God in prayer. Prayer should always be an exercise about turning our attention from the things of this world to the throne in heaven. What's the words of that chorus? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Prayer, praying the right way with the right intent, is critical to developing the ability to bounce back. Praying the right way, I think, is so important for our mental health because it helps us to take a break from all the crazy that's going on in our lives, from the earthly problems that we face, so that we can probe the heart of God and get our heads around the fact that there's a bigger picture that we need to look at. Praying the right way with the right intent to focus on God rather than to upload our click list. Praying the right way reinforces and strengthens our hope. But if we pray the wrong way, it can actually send us deeper down into despair. What would happen, church, if we really got serious about praying the right way while we wait? I personally think that revival would begin to break out in our hearts and in our church and in our community. Because when we go into prayer with the intent of refocusing our hearts on God, our worldly problems pale in comparison. When we get focused on the right things while we wait, it makes waiting much, much easier. We need to pray the right way. Another thing I think that we should do while we wait is we need to be getting in the Word more, the right way, and for the right reasons. We need to approach getting into the Word the right way. We need to spend time in Scriptures the right way, because a lot of times we spend time in the Scriptures and we find ourselves focusing on things other than what we should be focusing on as we approach the Scriptures. Spending time in the Scriptures should be focused on finding out what God wants to tell us, rather than feeding our curiosity on questions like, what does the Bible say about X or Z? Or what does the Bible say about when Jesus is coming back? What does the Bible say about vaccines? Or simply just reading the Bible because I have to check a box, because that's what Christians are supposed to do. When we read the Scriptures while we're waiting, our motive should be to improve our transformation into Christ-likeness rather than to increase our level of information about what's going to happen or what the Bible says about X, Y, or Z. When the Word points out something that makes us cringe, you ever have that happen before? You read the Word and it kind of feels like it's poking you right between the eyes. When the Word points out something that makes us cringe or makes us uncomfortable, a lot of times we tend to just close the book and move on to something else. We become evasive. We don't read the Scriptures, though, folks, to escape, and we shouldn't avoid the Scriptures to evade the hard truths that we may find out about ourselves as we read them. We should be reading the Scriptures, giving God permission to enlighten our hearts about what's really going on. What would happen if we really got serious about praying the right way and reading the Scriptures the right way while we wait, refocusing our hearts on God and allowing him to show us through his Word where we need to change, where we need to submit our hearts, where we need to obey him with all of our heart, mind, and soul? I think if we did that, folks, revival would begin to break out in our hearts in a new and a fresh way, in our church and our community too. If there was an app to measure how much time you spent in earnest prayer the right way and earnest study the right way, how would your statistics stack up over the last 7 days? There are right things to do. There are wrong things to do while we wait for the tough times to recede. The right things will help us bounce back. The wrong things will leave us deflated and defeated and send us spiraling into despair. Finally, this morning, as we sit in the doctor's office, waiting to be diagnosed, waiting to go in and see the doctor, are we actually willing to take the medicine and the treatment that the doctor orders for us based on our condition? Some of us don't like to take our medicine. I remember the things we'd do to get our kids to take their medicine, the tricks that we'd have to pull to get them to take medicine when they were smaller, and sometimes as adult men, I think they still have to do it themselves. But sometimes for followers of Jesus, mysteriously, it is the waiting that is the medicine. It's the waiting that is the medicine. And I think we find this true as we turn over to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 this morning, which is one of our key passages for this series that I keep anchoring myself back into. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it says this: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in the midst of our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." Do you see the prescription at work here in this passage? The waiting sometimes is the medicine. It's exactly what we need to grow in our faith walk with the Lord. For Christ followers filled with the Holy Spirit, waiting actually produces the hope that we need to be able to bounce back. That is a very profound thing this morning to understand. No one likes to suffer. But Paul is telling the Roman church here to tell us to, he's telling us to rejoice in suffering, in the waiting, because it's going to make us stronger. It's going to make us more resilient. I want you to think of it kind of like an assembly line this morning. Suffering produces character. And character produces perseverance. And perseverance produces hope. And it's that hope that helps us bounce back, because that hope doesn't disappoint. But this only works, this paradoxical thought of waiting producing hope, it only works if we allow our hearts to be fully surrendered to the authority of the Holy Spirit. It's only when we surrender to the Spirit that we can wait for 5 hours on hold without getting flustered, upset, or angry. Because friends, waiting sometimes is the medicine. And figuring out how to wait the right way is the cure for what ails us. It's the thing that's going to help us to grow in our walk with Jesus. Waiting in tough times does not need to be a hassle. Waiting is a spiritual opportunity to grow closer to God, to grow in patience, to grow in character. Gives us the opportunity to take ownership of the gate of our hearts. Helps us to grow in our ability to bounce back with hope. Where's your hope level these days? If it's low, I would ask you to go back and reflect a little bit this next week on how are you approaching prayer? How often do you find yourself obsessing on your problems in your prayer rather than simply focusing on the foot of the cross and the throne of God, seeking for God's direction in your life? Turn your eyes upon Jesus this week, church, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. How often do you find yourself spending time in the Word the right way? Not looking for answers to curious questions that you have, but really reading the Word to allow it to inform you and speak to you, to challenge you, and to point out things in your own life that you need to change. How willing are we to pray and get in the Word the right way during these days of waiting? How we wait is critical. How we wait is critical. If we're waiting the right way, God is going to build up hope in our lives. He's going to build up the ability to bounce back in our lives. and he is going to use us as effective agents in a world where so many other people need hope too. But folks, it has to start with each and every one of us. Hope gives us the ability to bounce back.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.